We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Today, it is 4th of July, and I want to talk to you about liberty. I want to talk to you about being free. Be free. And so if you've got a notepad, you're going to get a lot of extra points today because I'm going to give you a lot. But listen, as we celebrate our nation's birthday, we begin by celebrating God, who is above every nation. What does that mean? No matter how much we love our flag, God flies above it. Do you understand that? I can be 100% patriotic and still know where God stands. Yes? And so we remember the amazing people that went before us, the fallen that has preserved the freedoms that we have. And as I think about it, I oftentimes think about when we're given something, how do we treat it? How do we treat it? And I don't just mean the freedom that someone else died for. I also mean the freedom that someone else died for. What did that mean? I don't just mean the soldiers that gave up their lives for this country, but for the Jesus that gave up his life for our freedom. Are you hearing me today? So today is not going to be a message about how America is the greatest country in the world. We don't need to preach a message on that. What we need to do is talk about how we are living out our liberty that Jesus gave us. He told us to be free. How free are you in the freedom that God has given you? Are you ready to receive the word today? Awesome. Listen, so I thought it would be appropriate for us to dive into Romans chapter 8. We're going to be there. If you've been around this church, if you've streamed for a while, you know we do a lot of scripture because I like to let God's word speak for itself. And so we are a scripture-rich church. So buckle up, buttercup. Here we go. So now there is no condemnation. Say no condemnation. Come on, go on. Dust your shoulders off. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Come on, that's where you get your little independence dance on. That's where you get your freedom. That's where you pop it and lock it. That's where you floss it. That's when we get excited about what God is doing in our lives because of what he did through his son, okay? It says he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about what? Things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what, church? But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. Continuing, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the spirits if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So I'm going to pause there for a minute because there are a lot of people that go to church. They go to church, but they are not the church. They believe in Christ, but Christ is not in them. Okay, this is a fine line. This is something that as a pastor, I lose sleep at night. How many people sit in this church? How many people sit in other churches worldwide, and they're going with the flow of the motion and movement of Christianity, but they are not Christians? See, these are the people that Jesus, that when we read in the scripture, it says on that last day, people will say, Father, Father, I did all these things in your name. And he'll say, but I never knew you. For me, it's about a church that is in love with Jesus, not just here for the benefits. I'm in love with Jesus and what he did for us, the freedom that he brings, and I want you to fall in love with him too. That's what this church is about, okay? And so we'll continue, and it says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Holy dance. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Notice that capital S. It's the Holy Spirit that is dwelling with you, in you. It's part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's why it's capital S. Okay? And so where was I? Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Anyone know that urge? Oh, you all liars. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. I just want to stop for a minute because I'm going to do a series at some point. I say that all the time, but there's always a pantry going. But listen, we live in the kingdom of opposites. If you want to live, you must die. What does that mean? If inevitably I want to live for Christ and I want to inherit the eternal, then I must die daily to Christ and let him live in me. Right? We live in the kingdom of opposites. If I want to receive, then I better give because we have to give before we can receive. We live in the kingdom of opposites, okay? And so we'll continue here. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live, right? And so for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're almost done, I promise you. So if you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. I couldn't parse out which part of this chapter to read. I just had to read it all to you. I'd love for you to read it, but I got to make sure you know it. So I got to read it to make sure you know it. Okay? Now we call him what? Abba means daddy. It's a personal relationship. It's not just God, the Father, the creator of all things. It's like, that's daddy. That's my father. That's the kind of relationship he looks to have with us. It's the offer that he gives to us, whether we take it or not. So for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. And in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. I think we're going to stop there because that is enough scripture. But I just have to get this across to you today. God doesn't want you just to live a good life. He wants you to live a good life, but he wants you to live a life that is in family, in communion, in relationship with him, so that he is readily able to bless you as he watches the word work through you. So when God tells us to be free, he gives us the opportunity to be free, but it's up to us to let go of the chains. So today I ask you, how free are you? How free is you? If you're from the hood. Listen, how free are you when it comes to living in Christ? There's so many people, they accept Jesus, but then they continue to live under condemnation. They continue to live under the shame of their past, even though God doesn't see your past anymore because he washed it away with the blood of his son. But yet we live enslaved to the things that happened in our past. And Jesus is saying, hey, I was enough to cover that and more. We have the ability to be free, but yet we allow the enemy to continue to use our past against us. He weaponizes it. He weaponizes something that's dead and buried. How free are you today in your faith? So today I want to encourage you to be free. Number one, be free to live in freedom. Like, we allow you, God allows you to live in the freedom he offers you. He doesn't say, oh, wouldn't this be nice? Here, I give it to you, but you still got to earn it every day. He says, be free. Be free to live in freedom. Again, that Romans 1. So now, 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. What's he saying? Shame off of you, not on you. We live with shame on us all the time, but Jesus actually died so we wouldn't have to. People say, I just got to clean up my life before I come to God. God's big enough to clean up your life. And all that we have done is proven that we can't. So no matter how hard we try, we will never be able to clean up our life. That's why we needed Jesus. Right? And so there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. It's freed you. But in order to be free, you've got to let some stuff go. Let some stuff go. In every situation where God gives us free will to live something out, it comes back on us moving in freedom to see it become a reality in our own life. If you would just for a minute envision yourself locked in a cage, locked in a prison cell, and you've been there far too long, but you know you put yourself there. What happens when all of a sudden the door opens and they say, you're free to go? Somebody has taken care of it. How often, how long do you think it would take for somebody to get out of that cell? Yet we live in it regularly. The door has been opened for us, but we choose to remain in it because we're not living in freedom. We're choosing to say, shame won't allow me out. My past, I'm not good enough to step out, even though the door is wide open. How free are you? Be free to live in God's freedom. God granting us the freedom to live without condemnation doesn't mean everyone actively frees themselves from the shame of sin, their sin, through the Son. Jesus has cleared you. There's a clean slate. When we offer people the opportunity of what the word says to come into relationship with Jesus, to accept him, to be forgiven by the Father, it's like having a clean slate. God no longer sees you through your sin. He sees you through his Son. And because of that, it gives you a clean slate. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but it means that we can get up and continue to live in the freedom. The hard part is the getting up when you fall back into the stuff that you were in before Christ. You got to get back up. So what does that mean? We can be forgiven by our Heavenly Father, but still walking around in shame, holding unlocked chains that we have yet to drop. The shackles have been unlocked, but we carry it around. Maybe we carry it around to remind ourselves of where we never want to go back. And so we think it's something that's being a positive thing. But I want to tell you, in the same way God chooses to forget your past, see, he's good enough to be able to forgive and forget. We're not. We can forgive people, but we've still got to continue to grow to try and trust them again, right? I'm thankful that God forgives and forgets our past. Look, if God can forget our past, there's nothing good about us holding on to it. So don't allow yourself to act like it's a merit badge. No, it was stupid. Those were the good old years. No, those were the sinful years that could have led you straight to hell. Oh, ignorance is bliss. No, knowledge is power. So today I want to tell you, be free. Be free. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So what am I saying? Be free to actually live in the freedom Christ gives. Be free. Don't allow others that look and watch and follow your life to continue to tell you how you're not a good Christian. Continue to wake up every day saying, God, I just want to be better than yesterday. God, here's my heart again. I die to my flesh. I die to the things and my desires that aren't you. I lay it to rest. I say, I pick up your cross. I pick up the thing that you've called me to, and I'm going to try my best again today to get it right for you, because I want you to be proud of me, Father. Abba, Father. Yes? Number two, be free to follow his lead. It's your choice, but I want to give you the freedom. Be free. Follow his lead. Remember in Romans 4, or 8, 4, it says, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit's. You have an option. I can say yes to Jesus and still live in sin and choose to follow my sinful nature. However, am I really in Jesus if I never choose to follow him? This is where it gets fishy, y'all. I'm from Virginia. I can say y'all. It's not hipster. I grew up my whole life here. I can't say y'all. Calling myself out, bogus. Listen, in order to follow me, we must turn up what God is saying to hear over the shouting of our flesh. Why? Because everything that our body wants, it's not going to be quiet about it. Our minds has been programmed. Our culture continues to unlock the door for all of the things that are sinful, right? I'm telling you, God, he wants you to live in the freedom, but you're going to have to choose to follow his lead, not continue to ask him to come along with your life. I'm a Christian, but I'm just asking him to sit shotgun. I got it charted out. I know the exact path I want for my life. You just sit here and bless me, okay? No. You better switch seats. You better just be happier in the car. Be free to follow his lead, not tell him where you're going. If I want to walk in the freedom that he has for me, if I want to live in that kind of liberty, I have to understand I don't understand. And I got to let him be God, yes? So we can't follow the Spirit's leading if we're too busy trying to satisfy our earthly desires. I understand that God gives grace. I understand that if I mess up, I can ask for forgiveness and he will forgive. But it doesn't mean that I should abuse such grace by just doing what I want and expecting him to be the genie in the bottle when I turn around tomorrow and feel guilty about it. You see what I'm saying? And so we're going to continue here. God gives us the freedom to follow, but we must make the decision to turn our freedom into action. Number three, be free to redirect control. Not just to follow, but to redirect the control of your life. Jesus, take the wheel. Man, I've sung that song so many times. You know how many times I sing that song in my own head, in my own life? Like, oh, this is messed up. How am I going to fix this? Forget this stuff, God. You better bless him or I'm going to bless him with a brick. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Be free to redirect that control. Romans 8, 6, and 7 says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So I've got to determine who's going to have control. The flesh is going to pull at that control every day. It's going to want to make sure that it holds the reins on what makes it feel good, on what makes it feel secure, on what it makes it feel in control. But the reality is I have to redirect that control and say, Jesus, take the wheel. I've got to redirect that. Holy Spirit, you've got to lead my life. I need you to lead my life. Sometimes I need to leave my life to let you lead. But listen, I honestly think that if we would get comfortable with being uncomfortable, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, but being comfortable with the fact that we're in his hands. See, man makes plans in his heart, but Lord establishes the path. Right? So I've got to be comfortable that even if the plans in my heart don't come to pass, then God's better is what I want. See, you think your plans are amazing, but they're just sandcastles in compared to what God's trying to build in your life. So be free to redirect control. I love it the way the Apostle Paul says it. He says it like this in Galatians. Well, he said the last one, he's going to say this one too. So listen, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. What's it for? Freedom. He set us free so that we would actually be free. Okay? And what's it going to say? Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What is that slavery? Being a slave to yourself and your feelings and your desires. And I just don't know what happened. My heart made me do it. Well, don't follow your heart then. Give control to the Holy Spirit. Allow God to lead you. Be free to redirect that control. Okay? And so number four. Be free to please God. You're like, well, these are kind of elementary. Well, if you look at our lives, we kind of need to go back to the basics sometimes. You're like, I'm beyond this. Oh, did you see where you fell yesterday? That tripwire was 2 inches off the ground. And you tripped. We've got to go back to reality and understand that we need to hear the basics over and over again. And so what does it mean to be free to please God? The scripture is telling us in Romans 8 that that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Who wants to please God? I think it's pleasing God the fact that you're in his house this morning when you could be prepping for barbecue. Remember, church, then barbecue. Church, then barbecue. You guys are all here. I believe God's pleased that you're here, but it's more than just turning up. It's turning out. Turning out your heart and letting God fix it from right here. God, you can have it all. I need you to redirect. I need you to take control. I need you to show me where I'm not pleasing you so that I can please you in every step of my life. right? And so, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature, it says. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So what that tells me is when I choose to give up control, it pleases God. When I choose to let God be God in my life, it pleases Him. When I choose to grab the reins and pull it back and do what my sinful nature wants, it displeases Him. And if we know what displeases God, then we have the free will to choose to do what pleases Him. Who's choosing your actions? You are. Who's choosing what I do? Well, I'm married, so it's not just my decision any longer, right? Because not only do I want to please God, but I want to please my wife. But the reality is this. If I'm living a life that displeases God, then I should be concerned about how God sees my life, how He sees me. Sometimes the thing that we can do is get in this cocoon that nothing we're doing inside of our life can hurt God's feelings because I go to church and I believe in Jesus. You go to church and believe in Jesus, but how closely knitted, how often do we mirror what Christ actually did? Or are we just saying, know what, God, I'm just going to go to your house and feel good about my sin? No, we've got to turn it inside out. We've got to make the decision to please God with every decision. That's why you should pray over your decisions. That's why every big decision shouldn't be made without God in the center of it. I know, it's getting touchy. It's hard to clap when your toes are getting stepped on. I get it. I'm preaching to myself, though. You need to know this, church. I'm preaching to myself. So we must choose to please God. We've been given the freedom to exercise our liberty by doing good, and we do that by pleasing God. Be free to live for the audience of one is what I'm trying to say. Don't look for the applause of people. They're only going to applaud what God hates. Be free to live a life that pleases God, not people. Get anything out of this, church? Yeah. Be free. Number five, be free to say no. Be free to say no. There are things in your life you need to say no to. There are people in your life you need to say no to. There are things you need to say no more to. But be free to say no, because you have the power. You use your tongue to say all sorts of things. No. You can do it. I have faith in you. Be free to say no. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't have to do it, but feels good. You don't have to do it, but I want to. You don't have to do it. Church, I'm down 16 pounds. And you know how I got down 16 pounds? Saying no. I'm not sure if this is a fact, but I'm gonna tell you. You guys can Google check it later. Somebody told me sugar is 7 times more addictive than heroin. He was a really smart person that told me, so I thought I would just go out on a limb, but you can Google fact check that later, okay? But what I will tell you is we have the ability to say no, we just don't like to. We have the ability to say no, but you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. It doesn't mean that you become a Christian and you stop having the urges. It doesn't mean that you become a Christian and you stop seeing what the world puts out there. It doesn't mean just because you're a Christian, you won't have to fight the urges. The good fight of faith for a reason. Right? But you have the ability to say no. Yes. For if you live by what your flesh dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. I was going to call this point be free to kill, but I thought that wouldn't be a good way. Yeah. But put to death those desires. See, proof. After 5 years leading this church, I've got a filter. Listen to this. Listen. So we have the ability to say no. You are under no obligation to do what you want to do. But whatever it is that is attractive to you, whatever it is that makes you stumble, whatever it is, that sinful desire that you know is a struggle in your life, guess who also knows? The devil. And he has one of those easy buttons, and he just keeps pushing it with your name. And then you fall and he goes, that was easy. He knows what you're struggling with. And that's why he also doesn't have any new tricks. He just keeps bringing the same circus around. And you go, ooh, I like popcorn. He goes, I know, this is freshly made just for you. But you are under no obligation to live under the dictation of your urges. Be free to be free. Be free to say no. Live in the liberty Jesus has, what he gave you. It's up to you. So exercise the authority over your mind, your body, and your will to say no to your sinful nature. Say no to continuing as a slave to your desires. Choose to be free from every inclination your flesh tries to dictate to you. 1 Peter 2 says this, exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. What's he saying? Yes, you have a freedom. You have the ability, the free will to do whatever you want. Choose it to do good, not to do what you want, and then go back looking for the grace later, right? And so just because we fall into the hands of grace doesn't mean we should jump, is what I'm trying to say. Instead of giving into that moment, choose to exercise your freedom to be disciplined, to please and serve God. The number one thing that every generation struggles with is discipline. The generation that seemed to struggle the least with it were the ones that had the most military men and women in it, right? But discipline is an issue. Why? Because we're in a generation that doesn't like to wait for anything, which is discipline. I want it now. In fact, prime 2 days is too long now. I'm telling you this. If you do not understand delayed gratification and you do not grow in discipline, you are not going to please God. Yeah. Choose to put to death those thoughts, feelings, and desires, not by your willpower, but by the Spirit's power in you, okay? Number six, as I close, be free to rest. Be free to rest. Rest in the assurance that as a child of the Most High, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live there. We don't have to acquiesce or willfully submit under fear, under stress, under anxiety, or any other detrimental posture. We don't have to give into that. In fact, we can choose to accept all that God has for us by choosing what he tells us is the best way of going forward. People say, oh, the Bible is nothing but rules. Well, no, it's actually an outline how to live a life without regrets. And so when we have the ability to follow God's laws and his rules, when we have the ability to sit there and go, okay, God, you know what's around the bend, and if you think this is best for me, I'm going to choose this, and I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to find rest in you. Romans 8:15 says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. No longer slave fear. I am a child of God, right? If you're a child of God, then there are things that you shouldn't acquiesce to. There are things that you shouldn't bow down to. There are things that you instead should say, I do not have to fight that anymore. God already won that battle, and I'm going to rest in what he's already done because I'm a child of God. I'm going to do it the way he says, whether I feel good or whether I don't about it. So listen, as it says that instead you receive God's spirit, and when he adopted you as his own children, now we called him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And so, since we are his children, we are his. That means I get to inherit the things of God. It means I can rest in who I am, because the world is going to beat you up and tell you all the reasons you're not good enough to be a child of God. The world is going to beat you up, and they're going to tell you why you can't actually be saved. And they're going to beat you up and tell you why what happened the other day. The reality is, I'm going to rest in what God already did. It's done. Jesus said, it's finished, and he meant it. It's finished. I'm going to rest there, and I'm going to tell you, be free to rest in what God has already called, what he's already spoken over your life, what he's already set you free from. Look, there are people here today dealing with anxiety and stress and fear for fear's sake. They don't even know why they deal with fear, but they got fear. But God hasn't given you that spirit. Actually, know where that spirit comes from? The feeling of not having control. But you're not supposed to have control anyway. So can I tell you this? Choose to allow God to have control so that you don't fear and have insecurity about what you can't control. Rest in his goodness. Rest in the fact that God cares so much for you. He sent his only son to die on a cross for you. if I can find rest knowing that I don't have to know tomorrow because I know who owns tomorrow, I don't have to worry about what's going to come because I'm in the hand of God. No one can pluck me from that. I'm going to find rest. I'm going to be free to rest as an heir and a child of God. See, being a Christian is so much more than I don't want to go to hell. I know oftentimes we put so much focus on the benefits that are going to happen in the afterlife, and how many know there are going to be some benefits? But I want you to understand that there's so many benefits in the here and now to be a son of God, a daughter of God, to be a child of God. And if we can understand to loose the bonds and the chains around our life of things that Jesus has already undone the lock, but we're still holding on to the chains. The cell door has been open, but we're still sitting in there because we don't feel good enough to come out. Be free to be free. Go ahead. Live in the goodness and the purpose and the plans God has for your life. Fight like hell against hell to not allow the devil to get a foothold. To receive the word, church.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.